All right, what is up, guys? It's Nicole and Arjen here, back with another Snapshot review. Now, we've been gone for a while. Sorry about that. A lot of things to do. But a lot of updates have also been rolling out by Mojang, and we've been seeing a bunch of minor updates, 1.20.3, 1.20.4, 1.20.5. And we've also seen a bunch of new updates towards the new 1.21 update. So let's jump right in to talk about a bunch of new things that have been added. All right. So we got the 1.20.3 update released on December 5th, improving shields, new functionality for decorated pots, and a new look for bats. It also adds the slash tick command, changes the chat, and fixes bugs alongside for an experimental toggle for the next update. So we got the slash tick command, which is a really interesting update to the game because it was already present in the carpet mod before. Basically, what the slash tick command does is that it is able to control time in the game. You're able to change the rate, the flow of ticks, which are basically game events or game, like basically the smallest interval of time in the game, which lasts roughly 20 times per second. And if you're able to control that, you're able to see finer movements in the game. For example, when you're doing redstone projects and stuff like that. You're able to freeze the game, for example, so that you can see what's happening and change multiple things of the game at the exact same time. You're able to step the game so that you can only see what happens tick by tick. You can stop completely the game, which freezes the game, and then you start it back up again. You can sprint the game, which just runs it for a specified number of time, which means that, for example, if you don't have enough time to wait for 20 hours for that one farm to make you a couple stacks of materials, you can just sprint the game to find out what happens later on, and then you can stop that sprint. And then you can also change the ticking rates to be a different value, which basically just speeds up the game by default in general. We also have some new game rules, such as the max command fork count, which controls the max amount of context that can be created during one tick. We also have the player nether portal default delay, which controls the time that you have to stand in nether portal. So if you want to switch from survival mode where you have to, or switch from how it is in survival mode where you have to sit in the portal for a huge amount of time before, like I think it is probably like over 5 seconds, it defaults to 80 ticks. You can change it to speed up to the creative delay, which is only one tick, so you can instantly go in through the portal, and then, or you can make it super long so that it makes fighting more intensive, so that you have to wait a huge amount of time in the portal, so you have to plan that kind of stuff. It just depends on how you want to change the game, and it's great to see that Mojang's adding new stuff to the game. We also saw that the projectile can break block game rule added to the update, which checks whether impact projectiles will destroy blocks that are destructible by them, so like coarse flowers, pointed dripstone, and decorated pots, which defaults to true. But if you want to be have a less fragile map, for example, for map developers, you can set that to false, and you won't be able to do anything like that. You also have a new loading screen to handle corrupt level files, which where you can restore a backup and go to and do that kind of stuff. You also have a new options. Called the hide splash text option, which changes the splash text in the main menu to be hidden. Which, I mean, I don't know why you would remove that. It's a pretty good addition. It just adds a nice variety every time that you load up the game. But I guess why not? They added some new particles: dust plume, gust dust, trial spawner detection, and white smoke, which is for the new 1.21 update, which we'll get to in a second. And some new tags called Canbreak Armor Stand, which contains player attack and player explosion. And it also added Can Breathe Underwater, which contains a bunch of different animals, and Undead, which contains different animals, and Zombies, which contains the zombie variants. We also have seen changes to the decorated pot, which can now store up to a single stack of items, and can have items inserted to them by hoppers, mine carts with hoppers and droppers, and competitors can now read the number of items in them. Players can interact with them and insert items into them, and basically just revamping the decorated pot to be a lot more useful. And they can now be smashed by projectiles, which is what we talked about before, and they now have a new sound of breaking and can stack up to 64 blocks. They appear in the redstone tab of the creative inventory, and when the cracked block state is true, decorated pots will always shatter when broken. And that will basically mean that you can't pick back up the decorated pots when you break it. You can also utilize loot tables to read from the loot table tag key, which basically means that every time that you break it, it can have a different loot table, which is used in the trial spawner. They renamed grass to short grass, which it's interesting because you have the tall grass, but then we've always been used to having grass being called grass and not short grass. But, you know, it specifies more stuff to the game, which is never a bad thing. They changed the jigsaw blocks to add the selection priority and the placement priority. And they also changed monster spawners where they render their interface when looking inside, which just makes it look a little more, you know, normal and realistic. Arrows keep their custom name after being shot, so if you shoot something with a name, when you pick it up, it'll still have that name, which is annoying when you, if you, you know, you want to, I guess it's pretty useful if you want to send a message. And it was annoying when you would do that and it would just lose completely that value of naming it. And now you can send a message with an arrow, which is really nice. Spectral arrows no longer revert to regular arrows when shot and picked up, which is very nice. Ender pearls produce a teleportation sound on impact, which you might think already did it, but it didn't. So they added it just to make it more realistic, as always. And one of the big changes is that a shield. Now they made it so that when a player is blocking the shield, the shield follows the player's vision. So if you're looking up, the shield will point up. If you're looking forward, the shield will point forward, backwards, sideways, all the same, down too. This means that instead of being able to be shot from above, now you can look up and prevent that shot from above, which just means that the shield makes a lot more sense instead of just being like a battering ram that you put in front of you that you can't move at all. And now it's really nice to see more realism to the game being added, which is super interesting. They also changed the bat, where their model has been updated, which it did look pretty bland before, and now they added a huge revamp to the model, which is really nice to see. And they also changed non-mob entities, so this is like armor stands and stuff like that, where the name of them will now be shown if looked at a custom and a custom name is set, or it is always listed as custom name visible is set to living entities. They changed the function command, which to better accommodate the new return command, and functions no longer have any result unless they use the slash return command. They would basically, in the results, they would store, now it's stored in slash execute store. And they changed a bunch of different stuff to the function beyond that. Like, they limited the max command chain length, or they limit, they've made that limit apply even if it runs from a command line. And they added a new limit with the game rule max command fork count, which we talked about before. The slash execute command was re-added the if else or if unless function subcommand, so basically just adding if statements, which is really nice to add that sort of variety to the slash execute command, which basically means that you can run the same command and it will run differently every single time. We also they re-added the run subcommand to the return, and the scoreboard they changed so that new subcommands for changing the display of specific scoreboard entries in the sidebar. So that's just changing how you can modify the scoreboard, which is really interesting, and also number formats such as style, whether it's fixed and if it's blank. They also changed structure definitions and adding optional the pool alias list. They changed a bunch of stuff for the type, etc. The data pack version is now 26. The NBT format for entity type TNT added the block state and renamed and lowercase the fuse. Arrow and spectral arrow added the item field, which is the item that will be picked up, and the NBT format for the trident was renamed to item. They added the trial chamber copper bulb degradation, in the processor list. It also changed a bunch of stuff in the raw JSON text format, changing stuff like the plain text chat components and that kind of stuff. Realms are also now available in Snapshot pre-releases and release candidates, which is really important because now you're able to join Snapshots along with your friends in a realm, which means that any player who has an active realm subscription can create a free realm. And Snapshot realms are separate from regular realms to prevent issues from impacting regular realms. The version of the last played world on a realm is displayed in the realms list, and experiments are available for newly created worlds. So, for example, you can mess around with the armadillo in a new realm. The version for the resource pack is now 22. There are new block models, and especially for the crafter. There's a white smoke particle definition. Bat.png has been updated with a new bat model. They added block models. They added for the copper. They added unique sprites for the same copper blocks, different copper variants, and they also added the firework rocket into the impact projectiles entity tag and skeleton horses into the skeletons tag. They added small tweaks to the telemetry data collection screen, and some additional options are added for third-party server softwares, such as clients can now accept multiple server resource packs. New packs were added to unapply resource packs, and resource packs are no longer cleaned when entering configuration pays. So basically, you can now have multiple resource packs in a server, which is pretty interesting, I guess. Now, onto the experimental editions, which are the cream of the crop in this update. You have Chisel's Copper, which is okay, just a copper bulb, which is a light-emitting block, which is interesting. But it's basically just like the redstone lamp. Then you have the copper door and copper trap door, the copper grate, which is a sort of kind of like a net block, but we don't have a net block, so it's pretty interesting to see that kind of block added. Now we have the crafter, which is a really interesting block because it is a variant of the crafting table that can be crafted with 5 ingots on a crafting table, 2 redstone, and a dropper. Now crafters are basically, if you didn't see our episode on the snapshot, is basically just a automatic crafting block that can craft that can just craft any recipe that you input into it and craft it automatically as long as it has the blocks or the items to be able to do so. The interface is similar to the crafting table, but you can lock and unlock slots so that whenever you input something through a hopper, for example, it'll skip that slot to go to something else. And you can use a hopper to pick that up, but it also ejects that item like it should. And it can also be read by a redstone comparator with a redstone signal strength from 0 to 9, where each non-empty or toggle slot adds 1 strength. Now, this is an interesting addition because it provides the opportunity for farms to be a lot more automated. For example, RaiseWorks had a beacon farm that was almost completely streamlined the process to getting a beacon from Obsidian to the Nether Star. But the only thing missing was crafting the beacon itself. Now this would be amazing because you would be able to make the beacon completely from scratch, without needing to manually update things. Or for example, gold farms, you'd be able to compress gold ingot or gold nuggets into gold ingots into gold blocks, or anything else that provides blocks that can be compressed. For example, bamboo farms, you can compress it now into bamboo blocks, or iron farms into iron blocks. It basically just provides more compact storing or getting any block that you want in general without needing to craft that block. So I guess it could be useful when you're in storage systems, you would be able to have a farm inputting into different parts of the storage system, and then you would be able to automatically craft different blocks into their specific chests so that you could have a wood farm running into the wood section, and it would always be creating stairs and slabs and normal wood equally, spreading it all across using the crafter itself. Then they also added the trial spawner, which is because they added the trial chamber. And the trial chamber is a pretty interesting structure that is basically just a dungeon, but a generating dungeon that's a lot longer with hallways and spawners everywhere and chests and stuff like that. It's made by through with copper and tuff, so it looks very different from other things, and it's underground. The layout has traps, supply and reward chests, decorated pots, and many combat spaces. Traps can be like from dispensers, supply chests. I mean, you can see a bunch of different stuff in the chamber. You get supply chests, you get reward chests, you can also get decorated pots to get a bunch of different loot from there. And you can also do melee spawners that will spawn zombies, husks, and slimes. Small melee spawners, which will spawn spiders, cave spiders, baby zombies, silverfish. Now, if you've seen anything of anything in Minecraft, you know that a baby zombie is nothing to mess with. I mean, come on. You got people like veterans of Minecraft, like Filza, who died after 5 years in hardcore Minecraft for the first time to a baby zombie. So it's definitely nothing to fear about, or definitely nothing to not fear about. And you also have a ranged spawner that spawns skeletons, strays, and skeletons with poison-tipped arrows. Now, this is new, but not really, because we've seen the stray has slowness-tipped arrows, but we've never seen skeletons that have poison-tipped arrows. So it's definitely a new, interesting addition to the game. And then moving on, we also see the addition of the breeze, as I said before, which basically is a mob that spawns via trial spawners in some rooms. It has 30 health points and cannot be hit by arrows or tridents. It's basically kind of like a blaze, if you think about it, but air. So you got fire, air. So now it shoots wind bursts, which are able to basically just activate some blocks or knock back entities or deal some damage and that kind of stuff. And currently, in 1.20.3, they didn't add the mob drop, but later on they will add the drop for another item that we'll talk about later on. But otherwise, that should wrap it up for 1.20.3. And now let's move on to 1.20.4. Now, 1.20.4 was a very minor update. You really only see that they fix a critical bug that decorated pots can delete items when reloading the world, which is kind of funny that they didn't catch that beforehand. But it makes sense that they would push 1.20.4. They pushed it 2 days after 1.20.3, which is kind of funny. But because it is a critical issue, but I feel like they should have caught that beforehand, and it's kind of funny that they didn't, but you know, I guess what can you do? But the since it's not a big change, it definitely doesn't change much in with regards to mods and stuff like that that need to update themselves. So now let's move on to updates that haven't been released yet. So we got the 1.20.5 update, which plans to add armadillos and wolf armor, along with many fixed bugs. Now, this is interesting because we haven't seen that armadillos, the armadillo, we in the mo only in the mob vote and in snapshots. Now, we in theory would have expected it to come along with the next major update, 1.21, but it's interesting that they decided to add it to 1.20.5 because I guess they didn't want to put it in the major update for some reason, even though usually they follow the trend of adding it to the major update. For example, the Alea was added in the 1.19 update. Or, and then yeah. So basically, the armadillo, if you haven't heard yet from the mob vote, is a passive mob spawning in the Savannah and Badlands biome. It can drop armadillo scutes. Either periodically or when drops, but it drops no loot with them being killed, which makes sense because you don't want to encourage players to kill the armadillo. And it makes sense that they didn't implement the same feature as the turtle, because when the turtle drops scutes, it was only when it grows up. They probably did this because the functionality of the armadillo scute, which we'll get into later, is to craft wolf armor. So even though the turtle helmet is crafted with scutes, it's a lot more niche, but the wolf armor is a lot less niche, so it makes sense that they would want it to be a lot more easily accessible. And it drops it at the same rate as chickens lay eggs, and brushing takes some durability from the brush, of course. And it can be bred with spider eyes, which is interesting because the armadillo does eat spiders, I'm pretty sure. I would have to fact check that. But they use the spider eyes to breed, which is different from other animals. And one of the big features of the armadillo is that if it detects a threat, it will roll up into a ball. It becomes a solid block that can't really be affected, and it cannot move and stuff like that. It also will take reduced damage and completely negate damage from weaker attacks. And the armadillo will also continuously scan for threats for 3 seconds until it starts moving again. Threats include a player sprinting, a player in a vehicle, anyone it has been attacked to by recently, and undead mobs. So it will not roll up also when it's fleeing in water and air or on a leash, which is interesting. Now, as I said before, one of the major features from the armadillo is the wolf armor. It's crafted with 6 armadillo scutes and protects the wolf from damage, giving the same protection as diamond horse armor on a horse. Now, this is interesting that they decided to just implement wolf armor directly and not really add a tiered system as they do in horse armor, because this just basically is just a one and done, which is like, it's not really an interesting update per se, because it's just like, it's only, it doesn't really add spice to the game. It just adds something, a piece of armor. I don't think that that's really useful to the game, but it's definitely useful for some people that the wolf can be equipped with some armor, which and using shears will make it drop the armor, by the way. And it's useful if you're using wolves a lot and fighting a lot with those wolves to be, but wolves aren't very useful, and we don't really see players using wolves that much. But hey, maybe this will change it and we'll see a difference in the gameplay style with wolf armor. We also see the slash transfer command, which triggers a transfer of a player to another server, which only exists on dedicated servers, because it would be kind of weird if you could just slash transfer to a different server, to a different server that isn't dedicated. They also changed some attributes such as the fall damage multiplier, gravity, safe fall distance, scale, step height, block break speed, block interaction range. The fall damage multiplier just multiplies overall fall damage. Gravity controls acceleration. Safe fall distance controls the amount of distance that a player can fall. Scale changes the size of any mob. Step height determines the max height in blocks that somebody can walk without jumping. Blocks break speed changes the speed of the block of breaking blocks as a multiplier. And block interaction range is basically like the crab, where you can interact further or closer. Now, it's interesting that they're adding these different kinds of things, because it adds more control to the game, where you can really change all the different part aspects of the game if you want to really change some different kinds of stuff. Yeah, it's also interesting that they added, for example, the armadillo, the crab feature to as a game rule, which is really different, and it also shows that this year, especially, the crab wasn't super useful, because you could just add it as game rule, and just adding an item, a singular item that can do the same thing that a game rule could do itself, isn't super interesting. I mean, it's interesting in that it changes the game functionality, but it's not very, it doesn't change the game as much as you would want a mob to change the game. It's really just a niche mob that'll just be somewhere. And the same goes with the armadillo, with only one feature. It's definitely not something that you want to see on a regular basis, so I hope that that changes. But with the recent mob votes and stuff like that, I don't think we're going to be seeing much of a change from what it currently is. There is a spawn chunk radius game rule, which changes the size of the spawn chunks. Basically is a The spawn chunks are basically a region where you spawn that is always getting ticked, no matter where you are. Because usually chunks are only loaded when you're nearby to them, which means that if you have a farm at your base, that runs automatically. If you're not at your base, it's not going to run. But if you put that farm in the spawn chunks, it is going to run. So this is a good game rule to add because it allows people to increase the size of where they are able to farm perpetually in the in spawn without needing to be near it or use a chunk loader. The vault connection particle shows up near vault, which, and then this for servers, they changes a bunch of different things. They added transfer packets, which basically just are packets sent for transfer. They added cookie packets, which can store data on a client. They added an option to configure how a region file compression algorithm is handled on dedicated servers. They added a region file compression ID. And they also added a bunch of block tags such as Armadillo Spawnable, Badlands Terracotta, Block Wind Charge Explosions, the Aquatic, Arthropod, Ignore Potion and Regen, Illager, Illager Friends, Inverted Healing and Harm, Not Scary for Pufferfish, Sensitive to Bane of Arthropods, Sensitive to Impaling, and Wither Friends. And they also added the chest armor, foot armor, head armor, leg armor, skulls, enchanted foot armor, enchantable leg armor, enchantable chest armor, enchantable head armor, enchantable weapon, enchantable sword, enchantable mining loot, enchantable fishing, enchantable trident, enchantable durability, enchantable bow, enchantable equipable, enchantable crossbow, and enchantable vanishing. So this is really interesting because they are adding a bunch of these different tags, which basically allows you to modify what things are affected by other things. So, for example, you're right now in the enchantable foot armor category. It contains every single type of foot, or yeah, to every single type of foot armor. But if you can, in theory, modify the game to be able to add other types of things that you can enchant with, for example, Frostwalker. Now, it wouldn't have much functionality, I wouldn't think, but we could definitely see that happen, and it would definitely allow a lot more customization to the game. We have also seen changes to the hopper improving performance, and it will no longer try to pick up item entities if there's a full block placed above it. So now this is a really good change, even though most people might not think that it's an important change, because hoppers provide a lot of lag, and lag isn't something that you want to see in a game, especially when you have a bunch of hoppers right after another. Players usually placed composters above the hopper to prevent lag from happening. But now if you just put a full block over it, you won't have any more lag again. They also renamed the scoot to the turtle scoot to differentiate from the armadillo scoot. The factory calculation data has been removed from mob effect instance tags. Cave spiders and spiders are now scared of armadillos, not in a rolled up space. Horse, they were in the horse, they replaced the armor item with the body armor item. In Llama, they replaced the Decker item with the body armor item. And Shulkers are no longer able to destroy armor stands. Wolves were changed, in Wolves, they changed Tame Wolves to now have 40 or 20 hearts instead of 10 hearts, and no longer take half the damage from most environmental sources. And Feeding a Wolf now heals twice as many health points, and they now only take knockback from snowballs. Like other mobs, instead of taking net damage. So this is really interesting because basically what they did is that they buffed the wolf so that the using wolves becomes a lot more appealing. It's really interesting that they decided to do that because now that means that players might be able to take advantage of the wolf armor, but I still don't think that we're going to be seeing a lot of wolves being used. I think it's only going to be in lore or like how PewDiePie had a wolf. Or how, some people had wolves, or if people have ages, they might breed a huge army of wolves like Technoblade did for his in the Dream SMP. But I don't think we'll be seeing wolves in everyday lives because they're just not worth the worry. But I might be wrong. We'll see. Llamas now use new damage type spit instead of mob projectile, and they are no longer able to destroy armor stands. They replaced the horse armor slot argument with the armor body argument, which is now applicable to all mobs. Armadillos are now required for the 2x2 advancement, and the parasitic bats advancement can be guaranteed by breeding armadillos now. Granted, sorry. When entities leave or enter the end, they arrive. The area they arrive in will now stay loaded for 15 seconds, matching the behavior of nether portals. So the functionality of chunk loaders was that it would you would have to resend an item every 15 seconds through another portal to load the chunks. But now, in the end, it will follow the same behavior so that you would have to make a chunk loader at the end to load that those items. The size of the spawn chunks changed from 19 by 19 chunks to 3 by 3 chunks, which really sucks for people who were relying on the spawn chunks to be really important for creating farms, because now they would have to go into that game rule and to change the game rule to be able to make huge farms in the spawn chunks, or they would have to make chunk loaders, which are never easy to make. But if people were planning on using the 19 by 19 chunks, I'm assuming that they can use chunk loaders. But this was done to reduce memory usage, loading time, and CPU usage, of course. And they opted to not remove this spawn chunk functionality so that people could still use it, which is always a nice thing to see. They also changed some accessibility stuff. So that the default focus is now always set when entering or exiting any menu while navigating using tab or arrow keys. And they renamed the horse jump strength to generic jump strength, which applies to all entities. They renamed allow cheats to allow commands, which really removes the connotation that allowing cheats in your games is a bad thing. Now, it's not always necessarily a bad thing, but I feel like changing that was probably a good change so that people wouldn't think that they're cheating when they turn on commands, and that it definitely opens up the access to new players. But it's definitely not something that should be, in my opinion, generalized so that everybody is able to allow commands just for the fun of it, and think that that's as fair as somebody who doesn't use commands in the game. They changed stuff with the data pack with the version is now 31, with sweep changing a bunch of different names and potion effects and stuff like that. And the research pack version is now 26. We'll go all over all of these specific kinds of things in the when the update fully releases. And they also added, we talked before about experimental editions, the trial chambers, but now they added the vault block, which holds treasure and loot, and you have to find the key to eject its rewards, which is a trial key, which was a key released by inside of spawners after completing them. They contain the most valuable loot that can be unlocked by a limited amount of players, which is different from any other feature that we've seen before. But it could only be activated once per player, which makes sense so that you can't have unlimited good loot. It has within its cage, it will cycle through and display items which are possible to be ejected, which is a loot table, and it cannot be crafted or obtained. It does not drop from when mined. We also see the wind charge, which will fire, which is basically kind of like if you know in Hypixel, you got the fire charge. And when you write, when used, it will fire off a wind charge, which is similar to the breeze's wind charge, and it will grant 10% more knockback than the breeze's, but will have a much smaller area of impact. And breezes will drop down the wind charge, like I said before. They do drop something down, which is the wind charge, which adds more functionality to the breeze, and also adds some new stuff. But I really do think that they should add the same functionality to the fireball. Where instead of just being able to set something on fire like flint and steel, you should be able to do something like Hypixel, where you're able to just send off the firewall to be able to go do some damage. And players that launch themselves with the wind charge will only accumulate fall damage below the Y level of where they collided with the wind burst, which doesn't really make sense. But I guess if they feel like it, do it, if they feel like making it so that the wind charge, I guess, maybe slows down the player, I'm not really sure why they would make that besides buffing the wind charge so that people use that functionality. They also changed a bunch of stuff in the experimental changes with the breeze deflecting all projectiles and tweaking the breeze itself. The trial key, just change it obviously to open vaults. The crafter, changing the texture. And the trial spawner now has the same two default values in the trial chamber. All right, the wind charge, they changed it so that they updated the model texture and animation. And villagers in the villager trade rebalance can now buy damaged armor, which is really interesting to see that they will be able to do that kind of stuff. And they have huge amount of bug fixes, which you can check out on the Minecraft wiki, which you definitely should. It's a really great place to be able to get your to know your stuff.
All right, so now I'll do a quick summary of whatever Nicholas said about 1.28.3, 1.20.4, and 1.20.5, and then I'll give my own opinion and takes on each of these releases. So first, starting with 1.20.3, I mean it's pretty simple. Not much major stuff. I won't re like go get into all the boring stuff again. But one thing to know, new look for the bat. That's pretty cool. Texture changes to mobs and other things to make the game look new, since I'm pretty sure the bat textures have been used for a very long time. So just like a new look for other certain mobs, including the bat, makes the game look kind of new and look more exciting to new players, but also old players. And my opinion, the major thing in 1.20.3 is the tick command. The tick command, as Nicola mentioned, has can do a lot of can do a lot of stuff. Tick command can change the ticks, can do all these like. Forwarding time, rewinding time, stopping anvils from falling. There's a bunch of videos on YouTube where they kind of experiment with the tick command and all these kind of things. So I recommend you watch them. But it's really cool to see how like Minecraft is kind of taking some kind of like thing that wasn't used that much before, like to increase tick speed, to do something that can literally freeze the game. Cause you can stop time. You can like literally place an anvil above something, then while it's dropping, you can freeze time by stopping the ticks, and the anvil stops falling. Like, in general, that seems pretty cool if you ask me. So that's something pretty cool, the tick command in 1.20.3. Now in 1.20.4, honestly, there's like nothing here. They just fix like some bug, as Nicola mentioned, which is not really that cool. So now let's get into kind of the meat of this analysis, 1.20.5. So 1.20.5 has not come out yet, but it's estimated to add the armadillos and wolf armor, along with fixing many bugs. Again, this is all kind of speculation. It's not confirmed, it's not in the game, but it is like what Minecraft is probably gonna add with really like high accuracy. But again, take it with a grain of salt. So armadillos, I mean, armadillos, we've been waiting for them for a long time, the whole mob vote. We had an episode on that a couple episodes ago, so you should check that out. But it's pretty cool. Yeah, armadillo. People have been waiting for the armadillo for a long time. And it also is a pretty interesting mob. I mean, just the fact that it can roll up, I mean, it can roll up if it detects a threat or any sound or anything. And this can mean either like someone going towards the armadillo, or if someone's like a boat or something. Or maybe even other mobs. Like, that's pretty cool. If the armadillo fears, then it'll roll up and run away. And in that case, it might be kind of cool to see how exactly players will experience armadillos. I mean, when it's rolled up, roll up and walk away. And it might be kind of hard for if a player has no stamina, how is it gonna even get to the armadillo if the player can't sprint and the armadillo's running? It's gonna be pretty cool. But also one thing is that there is also the wolf armor. I mean, the wolf armor will be pretty cool. I mean, wolves are getting a huge buff, like dogs, wolves, a huge buff this update. Like health is doubled, and then all this kind of like takes half the damage from environmental features. It's all pretty cool. And again, as Nicola mentioned, I don't think it'll really increase how much people will use wolves, but there will certainly be some people who like are obsessed with wolves, want to create like a wolf army, or just have a wolf as a pet. And it'll be pretty cool to see how exactly wolf armor will impact them. I mean, in general, the wolf armor, it doesn't look that good. It looks like leather armor. Maybe they'll, again, as we talked in a previous episode, maybe they'll increase like the number of colors of the wolf armor or add new textures. But it will definitely be pretty cool. And another note is that shears and brushes will also work. The shears will work on the wolf to take off the wolf armor, and brushes will work on the armadillo to take off to remove the scoot, and it will be pretty cool to see more functionalities added to the brushes. I mean, in my opinion, like, they're cool, they're used for archaeology and everything, but they don't really have that much of an impact on the game as previous items and other updates. So it would just be pretty cool to see how exactly that will be used more, or in general, just in regular worlds, people will use it for something other than archaeology. Another note is people, I imagine people think of wolf armor farmers, which sounds pretty interesting. But as you know, the armadillo, it drops the scute, and actually can drop the scute with the dispenser, when the dispenser can be used with a brush to brush the armadillo scutes off the armadillo. So I imagine that since the armadillo can also be bred with spider eyes, someone will breed the armadillos with spider eyes and then put into some sort of a cage where there's a dispenser, and that dispenser uses a brush to brush the scute off the armadillo, and some hopper system will collect the scute afterwards. So it'll be pretty cool to see how exactly farms will be used to form wolf armor. Again, seems kind of pointless, but there will certainly be a certain type of people, or some people who just love wolves and they want to get all the wolf armor they can get. Anyway, that's kind of all the analysis, all the summary. Thank you guys for watching, and we'll catch you guys next episode.